just say that if we look back on the Christian scene in this country, I can remember just about a time when evangelicals much preferred to pray silently themselves at home. They didn't, and I can remember I was on the Evangelical Alliance Council, and one or two guys would talk about that. And so one of them said to me one day, "What is all this about public prayer meetings?" And because there were, it was growing at that point, we're now talking about when it was moving into, let's say, the 70s, and there were public prayer meetings, there was March for Jesus beginning to stir. And so they were saying, "Why is all this emphasis on that? You know, people should just learn to pray quietly themselves at home, you know, that private prayer." And so I embarked on discussing with him what I saw as the power. Not that we would belittle that. It's wonderful to pray yourself at home. In fact, you won't ever be a really effective leader of others if you don't pray yourself. But I think there are lots of ways which prayer has kind of opened up. So if I just use the praying by ourselves thing, for example, I mean, in my early Christian life, many years ago, I would kneel by my bed to pray, and as many people did. Or, you know, as I got married and family life, I would then sometimes just pray, you know, sitting up in bed in the morning, whatever. But these days, and for many years now, if I'm on my own at home, or if there's just Roger and me, and I've got something on my heart, I walk up and down praying. I found it easier to really lay hold of things if I'm moving. So that's me. And the reason I'm saying that is there have been differences in the way people have seen prayer. And I will often pray aloud, even if it's just me, because I'm verbalizing what's in my heart. We can talk about that a bit more. But then the other side is leading others in prayer. Let's say there's a huge prayer meeting and you are one of those praying. And again, I think it's incredibly valuable to pray with others, because when we bought the prayer house, I've told people this before, somehow or other, Roger was traveling all the time in those days. So he was always away. So people just expected me to work out what we're going to do with the prayer house now we had it, and how we're going to pray. And in some ways that was good, because I had a burden that we should be a praying church. So we started gathering people into what is now the prayer community, but we were gathering it then. And I used to go to the Lord and say, "Lord, how do I begin this? What do we do at the first meeting?" And I just felt the Lord say to me, just get some action going, get people praying, because then we can hear what the Spirit of God is saying to guide us into praying more effectively. So if we had prayer requests come in, I'd just say, just pray, just bring to the Lord what's on your heart. But then the Lord began to speak to me about the power of agreements. I can't tell you how important that has been to me. The Lord really spoke to me about, you know, Matthew 18, if two of you shall agree on earth concerning anything you ask, it shall be done for you by my Father in heaven. And where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. Those are the words of Jesus. My mind boggles at what Jesus says to us, because we don't see nearly enough answered prayers. And yet he tells us some of the ways we can find answers to prayer. So that's one of them. If two of you shall agree on earth concerning anything. So I used to go back to the Lord when I was walking up and down at home. Well, Lord, what does it really mean by agreeing? And I felt the Lord say to me, it doesn't just mean mental agreement. It doesn't just mean, oh, that sounds a nice prayer you're praying, I'll agree with that. It's got to be a heart and spirit agreement. So there's got to be agreement with the Word of God. In other words, we're not going to pray into all sorts of things which the Word of God does not empower us to pray for. And then we also need agreement with the Holy Spirit. So we need to make sure we're saying, Lord, you give me your prayer for this situation. And finally, we want to agree with one another. So what I began to do was, we had had a visit from Suzette Hatting, who was a prayer leader from South Africa and Germany, I think she lived in. But anyway, she was a prayer. And what she used to say to us when she came over one time, and she said, the way to learn to agree more, I think this is true, she said, you need to say, I agree. So let's say Fred's praying and he's asking for something that I agree with, I say, I agree. Yes, I agree. I agree. Yes. Now, when you do that, what she said, and I found this to be true, is that you start to shape your whole being to want to be in agreement. Of course, if that person prayed something that you couldn't agree with for whatever reason, or your faith just didn't leap to that, don't say it. So those of you who've ever prayed with me in groups like that will know that there would be times when I'm saying, yes, I agree. I agree. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Yes. And other times where I just stay silently, or I might say, bless, Lord. I might reach out to the person because I'm not sure I'm really in heart agreement with what they're praying. Not because it's terrible, but simply because maybe I haven't quite thought it through. If somebody, for example, prays for an immediate healing of this person, now I believe God can do that, and we've seen those things happen. But if I'm not sure that is what God is saying here, then I can't say, oh yes, I agree. I might bless you as you're praying, and there keep asking the Lord to show us. Do you understand what I'm saying? So there is the agreement in prayer, which has got to be a heart agreement. I have to say, one of the most joyful times in my life was when I began to live this out with people, and we had a whole group of us from the prayer community who were in real agreements with one another, and we really understood what the other one was praying. There is power in it, believe me, there's power in those Holy Spirit agreements. Just occasionally somebody would, I don't know, say something or do something which I found hard to, you know, to receive in the spirit. In other words, they may be falling out with somebody else, and it would grieve me. And then I would find it hard to even seek agreement there. But we would get, so then I would have to go away and pray for them, that God, that where they were wrong, that God would show them. If I'd read them wrongly, that he would show me, so that we could get back into agreements. Agreement is that important to me. Sorry, Helen, I'm taking a long while, but this is so important to me. I need to know I'm in agreement with you if we're going to pray, because that's where the power is, frankly. If two of you shall agree on earth concerning, just two of you agree on earth concerning anything you ask, it shall be done for you by my Father in heaven. And where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst. So I don't know if I've answered everything, but you can then come up with other things that I haven't thought of.
That's amazing, Faith. That's more than I even thought, because they're actually at the heart of everything that was on my heart and our hearts for this evening, is that we, as people who are going to be asked more and more and going to be called by God more and more to lead in prayer, that we have to have that love and that almost a passion for seeing greater prayer agreements, for that to be something that we really seek and long for. And it's going to be cultivated in lots of different ways as we grow and as we develop as leaders. And it's my real prayer for all of you that you really learn to love and to desire and to work for with the Holy Spirit to grow spiritual agreements that really are something so deep. And as we were preparing and talking and thinking about tonight, that prayer is an impossible thing to teach on so often, because prayer is in everything and prayer is the rhythm of our lives in God. So really specifically to be talking about leading people and leading a group in prayer is so much the heart of God. So deeply is allowing and bringing others into that relationship agreement with God, and it's something so wonderful. And just to build on what Faith was saying there, that it really is something that has gone lost in lots of church scenes, where church have often seen prayer as something that is, you know, that's a bit of a waste of our shared time that we have more important things to do than just prayer. But actually, even if you look at the book of Acts, actually right through those first eight chapters of Acts, every time prayer is mentioned, all of them, right up the first eight times, it's in the first eight chapters, and every single one of them is an act of corporate prayer, is a shared prayer. It's a prayer group. It's a prayer agreement. It's a prayer meeting. And their vision for prayer as the early church was very much a shared activity of agreeing and moving together. So that really stirred me, shocked me, surprised me, and really inspired my heart as I've been looking at that today. What we'd love to do now is dive straight into some breakout rooms to get you guys talking and thinking about your experiences in prayer. Is everyone up for that? You okay to talk for 10 minutes? And then we want to come back together and feedback the things you said and the questions that come to your mind, okay? And I want to give four scenarios, okay? Is everyone ready for this? If you are group one, okay, I want you to talk about, everyone ready for this? I want you to talk about when you're asked to lead some prayer at the beginning of a meeting. Okay, so imagine it's a Sunday morning meeting or perhaps a Sunday evening celebration or something like that. And they've said, hello, Anna, I'd love you to lead in prayer at the beginning of this meeting. So I want you in your group to talk about what that's like, to talk about how you might pray, some of the issues you might face, and then you can come up with some questions for Faith when you come back. And you can ask me as well, but Faith's answers will be better. Okay, so that's group one. Everyone got that? So in group one, we've got Anna and Jayanne and Fred. So that's your question. You're going to bring it back and then we're going to discuss it together. Is everyone in group one, you've got that?
James is wanting to say something.
James, you've got a question already. Go on.
Well, do you mean as in when the meeting has already started, or do you mean to pray for the meeting before the meeting?
To pray at the start of the meeting. So just after, maybe the meeting leader has said, welcome everyone, you know, it's time to be quiet now. I'm going to hand over to James and he's going to pray before we start to worship. That kind of prayer.
Just imagine right? Like an ICFES celebration and you're called up to pray at the beginning.
Excellent. Exactly. That's great, James. But group two, James, which funnily enough, you are part of, James and Liv and Marja. Okay, you ready for your task? This is fun, this, isn't it? You guys are asked to lead some prayer before the meeting, okay? So again, if it's an ICFES celebration, this would be at, say, 5 o'clock. The meeting starting at 5:30, and you've been asked to pray for 15 minutes before the meeting starts, okay? And there's a group of you, you know, perhaps you've got the worship team with you or something like that. I want you guys to talk about what that kind of prayer meeting looks like or feels like. Maybe you do that on a Sunday morning in your congregation. So have a think about that. Come up with some thoughts and some questions about a pre-meeting prayer time. Okay. Is that all right, guys? You with me on that one? Fantastic. Well done. Okay. Next group is Louise and Paul and Catherine. You guys are in a prayer meeting because there's a crisis, okay? So some kind of crisis has happened in your congregation. There's a problem. I'm not going to tell you what it is because then you guys can discuss around different things. But they've said there's something really awful has happened. We want to gather to pray for an hour at, you know, at New Life or at Southcroft. We're going to pray for an hour about this particular thing. Let's go for it. Okay? Does that sound all right? I want you guys to talk about it, talk about how what it might be like, issues you might face, and then come back to Faith with some questions. So that's Catherine, Paul, and Louise, okay? And then Giles and Lorna and Faith, here's your discussion. You are doing a prayer time for brand new Christians who have said, we want to learn to pray. We want to pray together, and we want to really move with the Lord. Please, you know, let's gather to pray. So it's almost like a prayer kind of mentoring time. Mm-hmm. So you guys can talk about that. You've got Faith in your group, so I know that's a little bit not very fair on the other groups. So I'm going to do that now.
Everyone, ask him the questions. That's what's going to happen.
That's right. Okay, so we're going to be in these groups for 10 minutes, everyone. Then we're going to come back together, bring all our questions, pull all our thoughts together, and then really seek to hear from God, and then we'll move forward from there. So is everyone ready?
Yep.
Here we go.
Yeah, well, we discuss, I mean, we talk about, you know, just inviting the Holy Spirit, you know, to be, you know, with us you know, in what, you know, we're going to, what the meeting is about. We're going to pray for what the meeting is about. We're going to pray for all those involved, you know, in the meeting or doing anything in the meeting, and also to give us the the wisdom, you know, and the clarity, you know, that he wants us to get or to receive, you know, during this meeting. Yeah, and then Anna came up with a question, you know, how long, you know, should it be?
Ah, excellent. How long should it be? That's very good. Good. Okay, great. Faith, is there anything more you'd like to say around when we do open a meeting, when we're beginning a gathering in prayer?
Well, I think it's really important that you do yourself feel you have that openness to the Lord, because what we all need is for you to pick us all up from the meeting and offer us up to heaven so the Lord can work. And I think something of that needs to come out, and that we try to avoid too much of the kind of churchy language, but rather just bringing the whole meeting to God. Maybe you have a sense of what he wants to do, to touch hearts, to bring people to Jesus, whatever. I think it's good to pray into those things that you have in your heart. But otherwise, even a very short and simple prayer, if there's already been a lot of worship and a lot of words, then just simply come, Lord Jesus, would be sufficient, wouldn't it? So I'm just saying, I think what you're saying is right, that we should be there and to be prepared just to lead others in prayer. I think it's good if before you pray, you look around at the people. Of course, depending on whether you're in one of those places where there's bright lights coming at you and you can't really see anybody. But if you're not, and even if you are, you have to picture them in your mind. But if you're not, then just to look around at the people, because the Holy Spirit will sometimes give you something to pray, which is relating to somebody in the meeting there, maybe a word of knowledge for them that they don't even know and you don't even realize you're doing it. But because you're seeking to bring them into agreement with you, that can help them to hear the Lord. Is that okay?
That's brilliant. I think, yeah, what I would add to that is exactly what Faith has said, is that there's often that sense of people being, in a sense, kind of scattered all over the place and sometimes feeling kind of crashed out on the floor. And actually within your prayer, there is a sense of just gathering and lifting people up, helping to fix their eyes on Jesus. And that sometimes is really the hardest thing to do. Sometimes it's really easy, but sometimes it is just really hard, and that's really, it's not your fault. It's just often what's going on in the lives of the people who are there. And sometimes in, you know, in the spiritual atmosphere of what you're dealing with in that time and in that place. And so it's really important, if you're aware of that, if you're aware of an enormous amount of pressure in your own heart beforehand, or kind of confusion or distraction, that you deal with that in private prayer before you then lead in prayer. You know, and there's a private prayer of real kind of discipline. That's really, really key. Faith.
I just say one other thing, and that is, I haven't actually seen anybody, I don't think I've ever seen anyone do this, but I've often thought about it. But because if you stood up because you've been asked to lead in prayer, how would it be if you turned your back to the congregation but stood before heaven for them? Do you understand what I mean? With your hands raised, so that they may not, you're not facing them as you pray, you're leading them in prayer to the Lord who's going to be over us all. I sometimes wonder if we should do that as a way of saying to people, we're just helping you to get into the presence of the Lord. We're not doing it for you. We are just going forward. So if I see you do that, any of you, I shall know whether it works. How about that? Because I haven't seen anyone do it. But I think it could be powerful in my own thinking. It could be.
Oh, man, I think it sounds fantastic. Take a video if you do it, anyone, and then text it to Faith.
It'll become the ICFAS means of opening in prayer, won't it? Anyway.
Amen. Amen. Bless That's you. Fantastic. That's fantastic. And I think it is a really powerful thing to really break through. And we'll talk about this more in a little while. But leading out in prayer is really not something that should be horizontal. You know, so many prayer leaders pray horizontal prayers. There was a Christian leader I worked with a long time ago, and every prayer really was just telling off the person next to them. Things like, you know, Lord Jesus, I just, you know, thank you that everyone here really does know Jesus. And they would sort of look sideways as they said it. And thank you, Lord, that we've all turned our mobile phones off. And there would be lots of these kind of words that were actually very horizontal. And that is a key thing. What Faith described there, whether we do that or not, turning around to face into the Lord. But that really is the answer. Is to step up in our leadership in prayer.
That's what our heart should be doing, even if we're not.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Group One. Is there anything else that you guys would like to mention, or should we slide on to Group Two? You're all right, Anna, you're okay? Okay, fantastic. Let's go to Group Two, which is Marjal's group and James and Liv. I don't know whether you had a designated spokesperson.
James is the spokesperson for us.
I thought so.
Well, very kind of you, Marjal.
I'm taking the lead now.
Very good.
My leadership mentoring course. You're taking on very well. Well, okay, I can give a quick summary. I think Marjal spoke the most and explained how it's not a criticism, and explained how they do things in the church there. And then Liv and I sort of agreed and said, yeah, you know, we do the same sort of things. So we said, we were talking about the pre-meeting prayer. So we said about sort of covering what's happening in the meeting, praying for the different things that are happening, inviting the Holy Spirit, maybe praying for particular people as well, praying for people that might be coming that haven't left home yet, or praying for visitors and that sort of thing. Maybe sort of praying for specific needs as well. And then I think some of the things that I said and Liv said as well, also we'd also be listening maybe to what God is saying, so that in that prayer time there might be, we hear something that we can bring up, or that God is saying it, you know, for later on in the service, or just something that directs the prayers at the time. I talked about being prepared, so you obviously need to prepare yourself, a bit like you're saying for leading. That we prepare ourselves to be ready to lead that meeting, so maybe we have already something that we know that God is saying, or some way to direct the prayer. So sometimes it might be a verse from scripture, or some sort of prophetic word. We had a question. What was the question, Marja?
Let me just add to something like what you've just said. Another thing we do, we pray for the building as well. Because the building is a multi-use purpose building. Other groups are coming, like the karate, the this and that. So we pray that the Holy Spirit will come and cleanse what has actually been happening in that site. I usually have a theory. I said to the others, I said, the minute we come here in the name of Jesus, his presence cleanses everything. But you know, some people have that thing that they should pray for it. I'm not criticizing it, but they do have it. They do pray. Yeah, so my question was, I talked about the study group I did last week. And then usually what does happen, the person who's leading will ask somebody within the group, said, can you just finish up in prayer? And in that prayer, we'll pray for the week, pray for everybody individually or anything, just a closing prayer. But to close thing in prayer. And then I nominated somebody, said, can you pray for us, you know? And that was the close of the meeting. And the person went to Psalm 51 and started reading, and, you know, creating me a clean heart to God. And that's what she prayed about. And I was kind of confused. Because usually, that is a prayer at the beginning of any session rather than at the end. So I was so confused. So what happened was that when she finished praying, what I did, I just prayed what she should have been praying, you know, to cover everybody, thank God for the meeting, pray for people, pray for, you know, that God will bring us back next week and we apply the teaching and everything. And I was confused. I don't know what that was. Was it reflective of my teaching? Was it a personal thing? I don't know what it was. So I was so confused.
That does sound a bit of a tough moment. And it's brilliant that you brought it up, because it's exactly one of the key things that we wanted to be able to explore today, is that very often when you're leading a prayer meeting, is that something will come in that is you're really not expecting. And someone will pray something or read something that it's kind of throws things sideways. Has anyone experienced this before? Has anyone experienced that in a prayer meeting? Someone throws something in and you all go, what? That wasn't what we were expecting. Or it perhaps a scripture or a testimony that has thrown things sideways. Sometimes it can get even worse than that. And there can be times where someone maybe will begin praying over others in the meeting in a way that can be quite difficult. And we can come on to talk about that a little bit more in a moment. But I'll just say, and I'll hand over to Faith to respond as well, Marja, but I would say in some of those moments, if someone is perhaps reading a scripture and it does feel like it's almost being used as a way to criticize you in your leadership, which perhaps is what that felt like. Is that kind of how it felt for you?
I took it personal, to be honest. Yeah. I was thinking, am I a sinner here? Somebody cleansed me? What? I didn't know I was that so much a sinner. I know I am.
Yeah.
Nobody's righteous, but I didn't know I need cleansing that time.
Yeah, and I think sometimes people will read a scripture and it can feel like it's personal, but it isn't. It's just that they want to read some scripture. So sometimes you have to give people the benefit of the doubt in that way. But I think sometimes what we do need to do is almost just bring some order into the meeting. We don't want controlled meetings, but we do want orderly meetings. And sometimes if there is that sense where someone's brought something and it's perhaps, again, gone a bit horizontal or critical or something like that, that we are gently, if we are leading that meeting and if we're leading in that prayer time, that we're able to really gently just say, okay, thank you for what you've shared. We're going to move on now. And that can be really, really hard to do, depending on your character and what kind of person you are. But actually coming to that place where we just say, yes, actually, thank you for what you've shared, but we need to move forward. And we're going to either wrap this meeting up at this point, or we're going to move on. Sometimes coming to a song of worship can really help. I know for you, it was at the end of the meeting. But it is a point that we need to grow into. We'll just come to Faith, Paul, and then we'll come to you. Is that all right?
I was just going to say that I think you did the right thing insofar as if you asked her to close in prayer and then the prayer was a little bit off in some way, it's perfectly acceptable and wise that as the leader of that time, you should then close in prayer yourself. Even if people thought, oh, I thought she'd asked her, it doesn't matter. You are in charge. You need to bring, and you don't have to tell people off. I mean, I've had meetings even in the prayer house there. Sometimes it happened a number of times over the years that different people would bring a friend or two, often a friend who has, in inverted commas, a prophetic ministry. And then that person, I've had a couple of times when people have started prophesying to people, but I'm not relating to it at all, and it's out of order. They were often relating to a leader in the meeting. And I remember just asking the Lord just to help me, not to be ungracious, but to say, could we hold that now? Thank you. Can I chat with you after the meeting about that? I would say, but let's leave it there. Obviously, not every prophetic word, because sometimes things could be good. But when they plainly come, you know how people do that sometimes. They've already got an agenda and they're going to put it out. And then I would talk to them lovingly and not unpleasantly, but just to say, we have a rule, if you like, that if you bring a prophetic word, if it's for someone you know, you don't bring it publicly unless you have been invited to by the leader of the meeting, because otherwise you put people on the spot. If it's a general word, that's fine, so long as it doesn't, you know, doesn't last for so long that it takes over the meeting. So, and I found people, I didn't lose the relationship either time when I had to say something like that. I didn't want to lose the relationship, but I thought if we don't have order, we're going to have this whole thing going crazy. So, yeah. So I think you did the right thing. But then sometimes people will, what is it, I wonder, that sometimes people will just react against someone, and she may have reacted against you. That may be why you felt that it was aimed at you. Some people are very good at those horizontal remarks. But I think, I was saying this to someone the other day, I think we need so much grace from the Lord, don't we, to forgive where that's happened and not to let it mar your image of them forever. Because it may be they were having a difficult time or whatever. There's lots of reasons. Only if it continues and it's starting to cause disorder would I then do something with it. Is that all right, Hen?
Yeah, thank
that's
you.
That's brilliant. I think it's really, really key. Thank you for sharing that, Marja, because it's really, really helpful as an example. And it's probably something that all of us will face as we lead things out in prayer. Yeah. Paul, I nearly called you Thomas then. Your name can get confusing.
That's fine. I go with either. just an interesting point. I don't know if it would apply, but I just know that in my own life, because of the place of brokenness that I came from, I know that I'm guilty at times of being so reactive in my own spirit to something that actually I'm not praying horizontally at somebody with an agenda. I'm actually just praying out of my own pain. I would call it a belly button prayer. And so, you know, so that person might have really just felt convicted or condemned even. And just for them, Psalm 51 is a place of healing and breakthrough. And so they prayed that, but they weren't seeing the bigger picture. And I'm very good at looking at my own belly button and praying how I feel. And I need to open up and lift my head and see, look, no, what's needed now is a prayer about this, not a prayer about my issue, which I can do privately and doesn't need to be public right now. And so God is helping me with that and has done over many years. And I'd like to think I'm much better at it. But I just think it's good to know, recognize that it's not always somebody with an agenda at somebody else horizontally. It might just be an internal thing that they're going through.
That's really helpful, Paul. Thank you. That's a lovely testimony.
And I think another side of it as well, where you guys were talking there, your group too, where you were talking about praying before a Sunday morning, or maybe for Marja, maybe you were saying that it was more at the end of a time, but there can often be a lot of pressure on you if you're the prayer leader praying before your congregation Sunday morning, especially in this time, in these couple of months where we're regathering as congregations. There's more spiritual pressure on our congregations perhaps than normal, because the enemy is really trying to scatter us. And actually, as the prayer leader of the pre-meeting prayer time, if you like, actually there might be a lot that you really need to break through. And what I would say is if you're ever responsible for that time in your congregation, which I hope you will be, and I hope that, you know, if you're ever leading something, that you will make a massive effort to pray before you do it, is that you really, really pray over everyone who's involved with a lovely sense of just pouring out God's blessing and anointing on them. And it's really simple, but it's really beautiful. And in Belvedere, we've been doing this the last month or so, but doing it in a socially distanced way. So everyone's dotted around the edge of the hall and we're kind of praying over the meeting as it's about to happen. So we're all a bit further away. So we've got our masks on. So everyone's praying a lot louder than they would have done to make sure we can hear one another. And then sometimes what we do is because you can sense that everyone is bursting to pray. So a great thing to do as a prayer leader is to just unleash that and just say, okay, everyone, let's all just blast this morning in prayer. Why don't we all just lift our voices and pray at the same time? That's a fantastically powerful thing to do for a minute. And then often after that, then allow people to pray and have a rhythm of agreeing with one another's prayers, like Faith was saying, you know, being able to say, I agree with something that does really stir that agreement within you. And then I just really agree with you, James, you know, where if there are individuals that you know who are coming to the meeting, to just lift them up to the Lord. You don't have to be comprehensive and pray over everyone, but just praying over those specific names and lifting them to the Lord. And again, just like, this is just me, so you don't have to take it as a hard and fast rule. But it's in those contexts, even when, you know, you might be thinking, you know, the meeting starts in 7 minutes and we've got so much to pray for. Just taking, even if it's just 30 seconds, to just be quiet and listen to the Lord for the meeting, to be able to just say, we want to seek. You know, you've got those three simple ways of prayer that Jesus talks about, asking, about seeking, and about knocking. And, you know, making sure that we're doing all three of those in every moment when you're leading in prayer, that there is a sense of, yes, there's stacks to ask for. You know, you want to ask for God's blessing on every person who comes, but you want to just seek as well, making sure you're seeking really, really simply, to just say, Lord, you know, what is on your heart for this gathering, for this time? That's really powerful. Someone, you've got a follow-up, James, come on.
I was just going to say, you were saying about everybody praying together, which is really good. Sometimes you might have the opposite problem where nobody is praying. And I think you could ask people to maybe go into smaller groups, because sometimes if you're in quite a large group, people aren't that confident to pray. And then I think it's really helpful if people have gathered to that prayer meeting and they stand there and they're not able to open their mouths, then I think that's, well, it's a shame, isn't it? So it's good to give people the opportunity in smaller groups, and then maybe they'll build up their confidence to do it in a larger group as well. So.
That's good.
That's really good. That's excellent. Excellent. Brilliant. It is one of the hugest things, and we'll come to that in a minute, but it is one of the hugest things for a lot of people as they grow and grow in their discipleship. Having the confidence to pray out loud is a big thing, and it's a huge wall to break through.
One of the things I've made a principle in my life is, in those times, which I hope we've all had, of leading somebody to Jesus who is not yet a Christian, I always invite them to pray. Sometimes if they say, well, I couldn't pray, I would say, well, look, why don't I pray a simple prayer and you pray it after me? So you repeat it after me. And I'll do a very simple thing, saying, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. Thank you for your love toward me. Thank you for cleansing me. Thank you. I want to follow you. I want to be your child, that kind of thing. And they will repeat it after you. And then I say, amen. And they'll say, amen. I can't tell you how many times in those situations the person has continued to pray, just talk to the Lord. And because I actually think, if at all possible, you should always help the person to pray. Because in that moment, when they first are coming to the Lord, they are very open to him, and it enables them for the rest of their Christian life to be able to pray aloud. So that's, I've done that. And I found that people, if you lead them in a simple prayer first, so that they are verbalizing things, they start to get used to their voice praying, and then let them say whatever they want to the Lord. It's a beautiful thing. But I just say that because that saves you having them 20 years later not able to pray with a group of people, doesn't it? Because they've got used to it by then.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's fantastic. There's so much we're exploring here, and it's great. Should we move on to group three? I think was that Catherine's group? It was. And you guys were doing leading a prayer meeting in the moment of a crisis.
Ooh, yeah.
So let's just hear any thoughts that you all had or questions. They could be all questions. That's all right.
Catherine, are you going over my... I think that means me, because she's gone muted. Are you... Yeah, okay.
You all can. It's okay. Go on, Paul. You start, and then Catherine's going to contribute.
Okay.
You go for it, Paul.
Thank you. We were trying to figure out, like, the best way to kind of start a prayer meeting that was to do with a crisis. So obviously you're assuming that the people in the meeting know what that crisis is, that it's being communicated effectively and appropriately, and it might be that it's been shared without the person's name or the right level of detail for the people there. So that's the preamble, which I've just thrown in. But we started really with the idea of trying to put God in authority, acknowledging his supremacy, the idea of rather than focus on the problem, focus on the solution, and remembering who God is, that however impossible the situation looks, we know a God who nothing is impossible for. And then we talked about maybe praying in tongues and encouraging people, because that allows expression of emotion. And when people don't have words, if it's a serious crisis, like it's quite hard to find the words for a lot of people to pray, but God has given us a way to do that. And then what we said was that maybe it's kind of a step process of almost trying to, how do you get people, lead people to a place of faith, a place of rest, a place of calm through prayer. So praying out who God is and what he can do and, scriptures and things like that. And then from that place, being out, going to maybe a place of listening and a place of asking the Lord how he wants you to pray rather than just assume. Now, sometimes you can just look at a situation and go, well, the Bible says this and the problem is this, therefore A plus B equals C. But even in that, I don't think many situations are really like that. I think that we make too many assumptions as Christians. So to actually try and always listen and always get to a place where we can listen and not make assumptions. What our other thing we said was to try and be real and not religious about it. Did you want to explain what you meant by that?
It was just thinking about, was it about problems you might face or something like that?
Oh yeah, issues you might face.
And sometimes we're very good at just saying statements about God, which might be true, but it's hard to express, but something
like a Christian cliche.
Something about God, you're always in control, and a child is in the process of dying, and it's not always sensitive to the people in the group for what they're experiencing, or it's trying to work out how to speak truth without ignoring the reality of the things that are going on, or just not speaking truth really, not religiously, is kind of what I'm saying. But it's
you can say the same thing two different ways and it have a different reaction. You can be saying it of, oh, I need to somehow stir up, I need to cling to that Bible verse because I can't deal with this situation, so I'll just go to that. And it's that can just come across cliche and religious, whereas actually you can have the same person stating the same Bible verse but doing it in faith and praying it out of a heart that's broken and hurting for that situation, and it'd be immensely powerful. And it's easy to be either side of the line, I think. I think we'll let, if Catherine's got anything she wanted to add, but our main question for faith was trying to get people in a crisis moment to that place of being able to listen. Any advice on that? But Catherine, did you have anything you wanted to add?
No, I think you said it all really well.
Okay, well, when you began to speak about this situation, I remember something that happened a good number of years back, as you will know when I tell you what it was. We had on a Tuesday, we were having Radnet, and I went to speak to a Korean couple who'd come in Radnet. It was the lunch hour, and they had gone, and they had a television there, and they put it on. Actually, they were looking for a children's program for their child, but in actual fact, what came up was news. And what we saw was an aeroplane flying into the Twin Towers. It was that day. And it was absolutely horrendous. I just stood there watching this and hearing what they were saying. And then we shared with others and the Radnets began praying. But I then asked one of our administrators, please, could you send the word out? We'll gather in the back hall of the Bonhoeffer tonight. Anyone who's free, we need to pray together over this. And we had an absolutely full hall there because it somehow went out around congregations. Now, we didn't know how to pray except, God, will you deliver us from this, from the repercussions of this evil? Will you send healing? Will you send peace? And so, but basically, we got people listening to God, like you're saying, just worshiping. We had some worship, and we declared that the Lord is the Lord of all. We are his servants, and we just asked him to give us prayers, gathering groups to pray for people who'd lost a loved one or who didn't know where their loved one was, because it was all still very early days. It was a horrendous time. But by the end of the time, we really sensed the peace of God had spread among us, not peace because there was no evil in the world. There's a lot of evil in the world now, but rather the peace because the Lord says, okay, you stay with me and I will guide you. And he would answer prayers as he is able to. I hope that doesn't sound, heretical to you. I believe that God can't do some of the things we ask him to do. Because, for example, he can't protect us if we have taken ourselves away from him and we're following the enemy, like so many people are. He can't do that protection. He may in grace go after people and help them, but if we throw him away from us, he can't always come back and protect. And I think our Western world has done that a lot. Now, it may be that because what we're praying about is that people come back to the Lord. But I think, therefore, I agree with what you were saying about not to make statements which are painful to the people. Now, obviously, you will know that we don't hold a Calvinistic theology in ICFIS. And I remember one time somebody applied to do our training program, and I was one of those that interviewed him, and he said, does it matter that I'm not a Calvinist? I believe totally in Arminianism. He said, I'm not a Calvinist. I got that wrong. He said, I am a Calvinist. I'm not Arminian. Sorry, I got my thoughts confused. And he said, so I am a strong Calvinist. I do believe everything that happens is the will of God. But will you stay or take me? And I said, I wonder how you would cope with this. And then I said, supposing you were a pastoral worker in one of our congregations, and a child has just had a terrible accident, and maybe the parents are devastated. What are you going to say to them? What are you going to say to them when you go to visit them? And he said, well, we have to say this is the will of God, so that they need to accept it. And so with the best will in the world, I said, you know, we have no problem with who you are and what you're saying, but we don't think you'll fit on our program, because there are others who would say we live in a world where there is damage, there's brokenness, there's the evil one, and that's why bad things happen to good people. However, we need to keep the enemy off by prayer and by loving God and following him. We have a different theology that we're working through. He was really, you know, he was fine about it. We said, you know, if you really want to come back and we'll have another interview and you can think about it, if you really want to do the program. But in fact, he went away and decided perhaps it wasn't for him. I'm sure that was the right decision, because we've really thought through these things very deeply, seen them lived out in lives, seeing our own son have the death sentence and seeing God wonderfully. So it's not that I don't believe God can heal. I believe he can deliver us from the evil one, and he can bring healing and does so often, which is a wonderful thing. But I'm just saying that those are the slightly complicated things, that when there's a crisis, we just need to be sensitive. We need to listen to the people, listen to the Lord. I think whoever it was who said about listening to the Lord is so true. Let's listen for what he's saying, because the Lord's heart is full of compassion, isn't it? When we listen to him, you will often find most beautiful words are shared as people prophetically are listening to the Lord. They share what the Lord is saying, and it's always beautiful, isn't it? We have such a wonderful God, a wonderful God. So I don't know if that fully answers it, but that's,
I think that's really helpful. Is it okay if I follow up? This is my question, Faith, but I think it's helpful for all of us. In the context of if we're leading a prayer time, I'm leading a prayer time, and there is an issue, you know, where there's some real prayer needed for breakthrough, whether it's healing or something demonic in someone's life, something like that. And there is a sense by which there's not a lot of spiritual agreement in the room. But yet, some people just really want to go for the strongholds and go for dealing with the demonic spiritual root of the problem, and others don't. And so there isn't, there's an almost, do you see what I'm saying? There isn't a kind of spiritual agreement in the room of those who are dealing with the issue. What do we do with that kind of scenario?
Well, I think on the whole, it depends on what the context is. I think if you're going to gather in prayer with people over a particular crisis, especially involving people and sensitivities, I would want to pray with people who will either follow the leadership of the meeting, and if they can't believe it all, then they have to work it out later, but at least they would be in submission to the leader of the meeting, or that you find people who are in agreement with you, because I think it's so precious. Is it okay, Jai and Lorna, if I tell this lot what I told you guys about this incident? Because years ago now, I was asked to be on a little group that was, it was actually at that, at the hall we used to meet in Westminster, you know, I can't think of it, but you know the name of it. Anyway, it was the pastor of the church that met there was Chinese, he and his wife, lovely couple. And the wife asked me whether I could join a small group of women that would meet for 2 months every Friday, and would fast and pray on Fridays and join together. I used to go up there on Friday lunchtime, so we'd have a time of prayer, because they'd invited a well-known speaker at that time, an Australian and his wife, to come and share. Now, the Australian guy had a ministry of deliverance. He was one of those that had a very strong, challenging deliverance ministry with lots of scenarios he would describe that would get people demonized, and then he would bring deliverance. But they'd asked the wife if she would speak to a women's meeting in the afternoon, and I was going to be part of the organization of that. The strange thing that happened was, that what actually happened was, when we gathered with her before on the Friday, the day before the next day, and she got our names, and when she heard my name, she said, "Oh, I've heard of you. I don't agree with you at all." And so I said, "Okay, I'm sorry. Is there something? Can you tell me?" Well, I gathered that it was to do with women in leadership or something like that. Anyway, she didn't want to say, but she didn't want to talk to me at all. So if you get this, guys, especially if you're women, and we're all sensitive, aren't we? Don't worry. Just be strong inside in the Lord. We don't have to follow. Anyway, but I just, you know, I couldn't apologize. I didn't really know what it was. But anyway, the next day, we went to the meeting, and she kept me right at a distance. That's fine. I didn't have a problem. There was somebody else leading the meeting. But when she did then a whole lot of teaching on how people get demonized, she got it all from her husband. I know that because I'd read his stuff. So I recognized what was there. There's nothing wrong with that. She was sharing it all. And so I was sitting somewhere, I think on the front row or somewhere. And then she went through that, and she explained to people how they got demonized. They needed deliverance. And then she went through a time when she began to challenge the spirits to manifest and get out of the room. There must have been a few hundred people there in the hall. And what actually happened was, people began manifesting all over the room, screaming out or shouting or falling down. And it was slightly mayhem, and she looked absolutely alarmed. And then she stepped off the platform and came over to me and said, "Faith, go up there, please." So I said, "Okay, I thought she wanted me maybe to pray, but I went up on the platform, and then she said, "I'm leaving it with you." And she went. She literally went out of the room because she was falling apart at what was happening. She obviously hadn't done it before. She couldn't cope with it. And so despite her disagreement with me, she had to find somebody who would take it over. So she just handed it to me. Now, I'm looking out on this vast number of people, lots of them manifesting demonically. And so first thing I did was, I said, "If you're part of the Ichthus prayer community, could you please stand up now or come forward? or if you're one of our workers, our leaders. And so people did all over the hall, because I didn't really know who was there. And then I said, okay, people, you know what you're to do. I'll pray from the platform. You go and minister to people. And in the most wonderful way, I was so grateful. All these ICFAS people that had gone along there just to experience it immediately began laying hands on people. And I began praying over everybody from the front and asking the Holy Spirit to come. And we eventually brought peace and order, and people got delivered. I heard from a lot of people afterwards that that God had really met them and they'd been freed of something. So it worked out wonderfully, but I didn't actually see that dear woman again. Now, what happened there was, it's always a mistake, isn't it, to try to do what you don't have an anointing for, but you've just heard someone else do, which is, bless her, what she was doing. She was following what her husband had done very effectively. But when it actually resulted in people, she should have been encouraged, because evidently the spirits were hearing her. But it was just a panic. So I think there are times when you can be in situations where, and I have to say this, although I'm not really critical of her. I felt a compassion for her. I certainly didn't feel hostile to her when she came and asked me to take over. I felt for her. I thought she was going to ask me up there alongside her, but she just vanished once I was there. So anyway, people belong to God, don't they? Not to people. So we were able to pray. But so I was saying to Jai and Lorna that when I was looking at you all earlier, I remembered it. And I thought, well, if I'm ever in that situation again, I hope this gang are there. And so that they can just fan out and pray for different people, see them. It was a wonderful time in the end. Okay, sorry, I took too long.
No, that's really, really helpful, Faith. Thank you so much. I think it's really, really key that we know that sense of moving in agreement and having the authority and the order that we are looking for. And I think it's one of the key things in prayer. So just hearing you share about that is really key. What was on my heart is that so many people, I think, put everything into the context in a prayer time, put everything into the context of warfare, where actually that's part of our prayer. But actually so much of it is not putting all of our focus on attack and attacking the enemy, but actually a lot of our focus is spending time with the Lord and hearing if he wants to lead us into some prayer of attack, some prayer of overcoming and bringing down strongholds, or hearing, you know, when things, like you say, need to be done in a real one-to-one way with prayer, with deliverance in each different place. So it's really helpful. Thank you for
Can I just say too that there is a book, there's a couple of books that was written by this guy whose name I'm just desperately struggling to remember. It'll come back in a minute. But he wrote a couple of books. Now, the reason I don't constantly wave them around is they're very slightly repetitive. What's obviously happened is he's taught on this subject, I'll tell you what in a minute, over and over. And so people have then drawn it into teaching books, which is good, but you can feel you're going over the same ground again. You know what I mean? You've read a chapter. That's not a criticism as such. It's just a warning that's why I found it. I kept thinking, why do I'm finding this difficult? I think that's what it was. But what he talks about is he's just emphasizing, although he over emphasizes it, but that before we go against the enemy, unless he doesn't say this, but unless it's a crisis and the enemy's there, you've got to do something. But if you're praying about something, we need to go into heaven first. And he says we must go into the courts of heaven and get God's command to go against the enemy. Now, that's his whole theory, his whole thesis, is that we need to be empowered by God against the enemy, not just to think, oh, that's the enemy, I'll go after that. Do you see what I mean? I think what is true about it, I wouldn't put it quite as he does, but I think what is definitely true is we need to make sure we're staying in touch with the Lord, because sometimes people have gone against demonic things and they've come back and hit them because God hadn't told them to do that. They weren't truly, you know, covered in the armor of God or whatever, and so they've been vulnerable themselves. But I don't want to make that heavy, because I don't think that happens all the time, but that can happen. And so we just need to make sure we're in touch with heaven, because just as the centurion said to Jesus, I also am a man under authority, And I say to this one, go, and he goes. He was saying it to Jesus because actually he recognized Jesus was under authority of heaven, and that's why he could bring release and healing. And that's how we can go against the enemy, is because we have the empowerment of heaven.
Amen. Thank you so much, Faith. We have one other group that we could just hear from, which was just about prayer times, when it's new believers who are learning in prayer. So I'd just love to hear any feedback from you guys. Then we'll take a break for a few minutes and then come back together for some follow-up questions and just to give Faith some more space to share anything else. So Giles, Lorna, whichever of you would like to feedback, let's go for it.
Yeah, so with leading a prayer time for new Christians, first of all, we'd make a couple of assumptions around there, in that everyone is a Christian and wants to communicate with their Savior. And then we just want to create an environment where people can talk, can share, can have their voice heard. Because it's one of the issues is that it's daunting to pray a prayer when you first become Christian. So to create that environment, we'd want small numbers. We don't want a big group. We don't really even want a medium-sized group. We want small numbers. And we don't just want one leader either. So it's either us together plus ideally a couple more people. And then those other people would kind of co-lead that prayer time, and they would be the ringers. So we want someone who just won't pray at all. We'll nominate a leader who just won't pray, simply because it's okay not to pray out loud. And when you put pressure on yourself to do something, then it becomes this monumental thing in your life, and it's much harder to break through. And then we, for the other three leaders, we just say just short prayers, nothing long, nothing. Don't quote a ton of scripture. Don't get really deep theological or anything like this at all. Just keep it really, really simple. And then for the leader, whoever's the person who's actually going to lead that time, then they just want to have lots of little tips and tricks in their back pockets. So, you know, Shall we just, in just one or two words, let's just praise the Lord for something we're grateful for today. Let's bless someone. Let's name someone in our life who we love and ask the Lord to bless them. So really, you are kind of making it a little bit directive, in that you know, in the same way that with a younger child, you read a big print book, Janet and Jill Go Up the Hill, and it's really easy. And they'll get to Dostoevsky and Tolstoy and all the rest later on at some point. But right now, you just want to keep it simple, really. But that's kind of what we've got.
Good.
Wonderful. That's brilliant. I love it. Really love what you've shared there, that sense of stripping out all the kind of the things that we can get used to and giving space. It's just brilliant. And a lovely sense of a way you're talking about having team when you're discipling people into prayer. To move as a team together is a really, really key thing. And I think that really applies to every prayer context as well. I know that's been the case for me, that in a lot of times of leading any kind of prayer meeting, you kind of know those people that you can really lean on and work with, you know? And again, it's hard to put that kind of spiritual agreement into exact words as to describe exactly what it is. But knowing where you've got real co-workers and real agreement to be able to say, I know that when there is a real awkward silence and no one's going to pray, I know that person's going to step up and help us and help us to move forward into more and more prayer. That's fantastic. Thanks so much. Faith, is there anything you want to add around that? And then we'll hear from you, Paul.
Well, I was thinking when Jai was saying about a children's prayer group. We did years back now, but it was one of the most precious things I loved being part of. We did a children's prayer school, and it was 6 weeks every Saturday morning, and the parents had to write a little note asking for their child to come. It was for 5 and upwards, 5 till 11 basically, but so we had some quite young children of 5 there. But what was amazing was how these children just learned to pray and would pray aloud. It was so moving. But what we did, and I've often thought we should do this with adults as well, I've still got Prayer Bear. I bought a big teddy bear thing, and he's called Prayer Bear, and he had a sash round saying, prayer bear, and on the back it says pray always. And then he had a little pouch with, and I wrote some very simple prayers in the pouch, you see, and you put it in there. And then what we do, we'd have a worship song and prayer bear would get passed around from person to person. When the music stopped suddenly, it was like musical, you know, musical chairs or whatever. And when the music stopped, whoever had prayer bear had to pray, but they could, if they wished, take one of the prayers out of the little satchel and read that. So they did that. Obviously, some of them got more confident and they would just pray their own prayers. But it was wonderful how by the end of the 6 weeks, you would have virtually all those children would pray aloud. They often heard from God too, in a most, I thought it was truly beautiful. I loved it and I loved all the children that were involved. But it was so precious to watch them growing in their confidence in touching God. And I think Prayer Bear did really help there. He still lives in our airing cupboard usually, apart from when Tom and Zoe come round, in which case they always get Prayer Bear down. They love him too. There's something about having something like that that helps them, particularly the kind of musical, the music stops and now you can pray. That's a bit frightening for some children at first, but as I say, if all you've got to do is hang on to Prayer Bear, take a prayer out of his little satchel and read it, it's not quite so drastic. But I know you can't do that with adults who are learning to pray, but sometimes, although I don't know why we can't, I should think it would be quite fun to do it sometime, but if you put prayers that are appropriate in there. But basically, I think what you said is right, that we just let them pray however they feel comfortable. And sometimes the people who are very articulate in prayer need to be asked not to pray at that time. I think that's what you were saying, because sometimes that can overawe other people. So just simple things, isn't it? The most important thing is we just want them to, because when you break the sound barrier with God, it is actually quite a significant time in your life. And I think it's true for children too.
Can I just share what's happened in church? Something very similar. On Sunday after the service, a mother came to me with her teenage son. She's a very shy person and the boy is very, very shy. He hardly talks to you hear anything from him. And so they just approached me and said, Maja, can you pray for him? Called his name. And I said, any particular reason? She said, just pray. It's like she wanted a general prayer or for him to be well. Anyway, he suffers from arthritis and things like that. And so I just said to them, I said, let's go to the side of the room. So we went to the side of the room. And as the spirit led me, I said, you know what's going to happen? I want you to pray. I said to the boy, I said, I want you to pray for yourself. I said, then I will stand with you in prayer. And he was looking at his mother and the kind of panic. And I said, what you want? I said, I want you to pray. I said, then I will stand with you. And mommy was trying to prompt him. And he did. It was simple, short, but it was his heart. And then mommy is kind of a very shy person herself. And then I started praying, standing with him in prayer. And then I was speaking in tongues as well whilst I was praying. And whilst I was just praying. Before I knew, mother was flowing in tongues. She started speaking in tongues. This is a woman, you cannot even hear her voice in church. She went on in tongues now and she was really flowing. And I was just standing with them, you know. So, sometimes when we encourage people. And so she was herself shocked how she, when the end of the prayer session. So I said to her, I said, you know something? I said, continue to encourage him in prayer. I said, just the way I have done it. I said, have prayer times with him. I said, and encourage him to pray. Then you pray with him. I said, you realize that his prayer life will be built up. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Wonderful.
Hallelujah. That's wonderful. Amen. Brilliant. I want to give everyone a little break for 3 or 4 minutes. Is that all right? But I mean, Thomas Paul, he has something quickly he wants to say. Paul Thomas.
I'll do it really quickly. Louise changed my ability to lead prayer meetings by just because I'm somebody that I don't like awkward silences and I pray out loud very easily. And so I would wait about 10 seconds. And if you ain't praying, I'm going to pray. Like, and Louise actually taught me, she got it from, I don't matter where she got it from, but just now when I'm leading a prayer meeting, I actually, in my head, I count to 24 slowly in my head. And usually if you count to around 24, you know, and I'm like, oh, nobody's praying. Oh, nobody's praying. And you get to like 23 and then somebody starts praying. And so that really helps me just to pause. Some like me who's very verbose and talks too much, to give other people just that pause, like the introverts, to think and process before they then pray.
Great. Wonderful.
Amen. So let's take a break for 3 minutes now. And then what we'll do is we'll just come back together, and then Faith will share anything else that's on your heart. We'll take some other questions, and then we'll pray and wrap up about 9:30. Does that sound okay, everyone? See you in 3 minutes.
Okay. Lion King, because I can't remember that it was a week ago or 2 weeks ago. I did the first bit of the prayer thing, and we did what was it called now? Growing in Prayer, I think it was. So I gave quite a lot then, and I did tell you you would have some notes coming. Well, they may be a little bit delayed again still, because I'm just trying to decide which notes would be helpful to you. But I think the prayer strategy points that I mentioned then, and I'm just going to say something on now, and then I will get them out to you. Because I actually developed this prayer strategy, I think I may have said it before, they were different points. I was asked to do it for some conference on prayer that the EA were putting on. They asked me, because we had prayer house and prayer community, did I have any kind of strategy for growing people in prayer? And I sought the Lord, and I thought back to what we had done in the prayer community. That's how I came up with it. And I came up with action, agreement, advance, wrestling, resistance, receiving, and rest. Now, I then discovered, after I'd already taught on it somewhere, I realized that there was a passage of scripture which totally encompassed those points. I mentioned it to you. It was in 1 Samuel.
1 Samuel 13 to 14.
Very good. Who was that? Was that Jai? Oh, excellent. Thank you. Okay, chapters 13 and 14 of 1 Samuel, because it was when they routed the Philistines off the hillside. But the point is that it works incredibly well with that, and it's very relevant. But what I wanted to say, what we've looked at tonight, is action, because I felt the Lord just say to me, like Jars was saying about when you have people who aren't used to praying, let's help them start to break the sound barrier. And I talked about when people come to the Lord, it really helps to help them to pray aloud, even if they're just following you at first, because once they make contact with their Heavenly Father, they will pray more. And therefore, action was the first thing. We just got some action going. And if you're not sure what to pray about, let's just get some action going. Let people pray however they feel, because then you're pressing into agreement, that we then want to find agreements. And there will be some people who have heard from God, and we need to pray in agreement with them. Those of you that are able to come to our prayer community, we have it online at the moment, and you'll know that we often stop and wait and listen to the Lord. And some people are more prophetic than others. They find it more easier to get a word from God at that point. I think the gift of prophecy is, we can all prophesy one by one, we're told in Corinthians, but some people have a gift of prophecy, and they particularly, or become prophets even, have a ministry. So I think it's helpful if you have a more prophetic person to hear what they are hearing in prayer. Anyway, so that's agreements, and I mentioned how we can grow our agreements by verbalizing them. I think it's really helpful to do that, especially when we're beginning to grow in those agreements, so that then it's wonderful when you can, you know, you encounter people in the prayer meetings or whatever, and you know you have agreements with that person. It would be very rare that they would pray something you couldn't absolutely agree with, because you're agreed in your understanding of the word, agreed in pressing hard after God, keeping all the pressures in relationship out, because sometimes relationship pressures can militate against it, can't it? And I was thinking how when we first formed build the prayer ministry, I called together about five of us, I think it was, maybe six or seven, but anyway, different people, key people, and we gathered, and we were going to be the heart of it. And I said to them then, okay, now we have to learn how to stay in agreements with one another. That doesn't mean we're always going to be right all the time. We can say to one another, I didn't quite agree with that because of this, that, and the other. But we're going to keep our heart agreements. And I then asked all of them to promise me that if they were going to fall out with somebody, one of the others in the group, that they would not do it. If they're offended about something, they either spoke to the person or they spoke to me and I would pray with them, but we were not going to have any division. And I have to say, for the years we worked together, we never did have any division, because I think people really did want to hear from God together and to have agreements. So action, agreement, and now the third one was advance. And what that meant, now in the story that we looked at in 1 Samuel, they advanced up the cliffside, up the hillside, if you remember. It was a steep cliff, because it says they climbed up on hands and feet. So if you're, that's rock climbing. And so you need to have good handholds and good footholds. And that's what, if you're going to pray about something over a period of time, that's maybe happening, like the virus or whatever, it's good to have good handholds and footholds. So maybe God will give a word or a scripture. That's one of your handholds or footholds. You know God's spoken that. Let's keep that there. Then we're going to find another one, another handhold or foothold. And then those things are going to be things that we will repeat again, because they are our handholds and footholds as we're climbing, as we're advancing. And then the Lord will give other ones. And I feel that that's how we can do it. It may be a song, which is particularly relevant. Those of you who know, we pray for Tory Gordon at 11 o'clock, whenever possible each day. We ask people, as far as they can remember, to pray at 11 a.m. each day for Tory. And even just a few minutes to pray for her is powerful when we're all in agreement. And we have a song which we sang at the beginning, and whenever we're in prayer committee, we all sing that together for Tory and for ourselves. And that's, "Give me strength when I'm weary, oh my Lord." It's a beautiful song, beautiful words. But again, it's one of our footholds. This is what we're laying hold of for Tory. So we are going to sing it again. We're going to speak out those words again. And it may be God will give you that for something else you're praying for, maybe in your workplace or for one of your children or for a situation in the church or whatever. Let's take sometimes it is a song which encompasses that the Lord puts into our hearts, that we should keep singing, knowing that he's going to answer. I've often had songs like that, which I know why I'm singing them. I know what they're relating to, because God gave them to me in a particular time. So advancing on the situation we're praying about is so key. And then quite simply, I'm just going to mention these quickly now, because I can give you the sheet, but is wrestling. That's when they got up on the hillside, you remember, they wrestled, because the enemy came down a narrow defile of rock, and then they were ready. So Jonathan then leapt out at them and grabbed the Philistine, threw him to his armor bearer, and his armor bearer ran him through with the sword. That's how they dealt with the enemy coming down there. But the way that I wanted to look at it was, when we are praying, when we're living our lives for God, the enemy will come and wrestle us, doesn't he? And the whole purpose of the enemy's wrestling is, I'm not seeing Jonathan as the enemy. I'm seeing the Philistine coming down when he sees these two Israelis, Jonathan and his armor bearer. He's trying to wrestle too. The enemy will try to wrestle us. And we're told that by Paul in Ephesians 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. The enemy will try to take you off your feet, because that way he can get you out of the battle, can't he? Now, it may be just a temporary knocking you down, but if you stay down, that's what he wants, of course. It's like one of these wrestlers you might have seen at some point on the television, where they got to hold them down. Once they get them down on the canvas, they got to hold them there for the count of 10 or whatever. And so the enemy wants to knock us down. He wrestles us, and he wants to hold us down. And I've often said, the thing about wrestling is it's a close contact sport. It's not like firing an arrow at the enemy. It's the enemy comes right at you, and you've got to wrestle it back. You might wrestle it off your mind, off your emotions, off your fears, off your circumstances, but it will be a wrestling. And particularly if you want to grow in prayer, you will experience the enemy's wrestling. I always hate to say that to people, but it is true. If you want to be effective in prayer, you will find the enemy tries to wrestle you in lots of different ways. And he wants to take you down. He wants to oppress your mind, your emotions, your body, everything. But our whole thing is to get up, isn't it? That's what Paul says. Stand, therefore. that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And he talks about standing, and putting on the whole armor of God, because we've got to get up on our feet again, in other words, or stand when he's wrestling us. And that's not always easy, is it? But I actually believe that prayer and corporate prayer is one of the most important and powerful thing we can do for people and for the church overall. I think there are lots of other things we do need to do. I think teaching the word's beautiful and powerful, but in prayer is where we hold the ground. However, if you're going to be a prayer, you will find the enemy tries to knock you down. I think that's so true. I think this afternoon was one of those afternoons where I was very grateful, because it was Tuesday afternoon, and I didn't have this awful feeling the enemy's trying to wrestle me, get me off my feet. And I know it's because people are praying for me. I've been asking people to pray, because I've noticed that when you lead a prayer time like that, especially if you break through, the enemy doesn't like it, does he? And he'll come and push back. And so you can feel it just, you can feel ill or tired or depressed or pressured in some way. So we need to pray for one another, especially those who lead in prayer. Do keep in prayer those who are praying, because we can pray for one another, which I think is incredibly valuable. And that's what we used to do in the prayer community when we started. We always prayed for one another, because we need to cover each other, and we need to cover all of you as we do. So that's action, agreement, advance, wrestling. And then I use the word resistance, because what happened was through those two men wrestling back against the enemy, the Israelites down in the valley, they saw this commotion going on, because God moved in to help them. We're told that that when they were wrestling the enemy, that even the earth quaked. So God sent the earthquake, because he wanted to help them. And so they then all the Israelites poured up on the hillside and chased the enemy out, and chased the enemy right away, you remember. So that's wrestling. That's the resistance that comes. And that is true as well. If you've got a particular target in prayer and you pray, you will find the Lord will raise up other people who will come in alongside and join you. That's one of the wonderful things. I remember many years back, there were lots of prayer groups. We weren't praying about that particularly, but who were praying about the Berlin Wall, that it should come down to open up Germany again. And the interesting thing, I just knew lots of prayer groups, and some prayer groups really took it very seriously, went out to Germany, prayed around the wall there. But what happened, as it got nearer and nearer, they didn't know it, to the wall coming down, the groups grew. There were more people praying. And then all of a sudden that day, it just started to come down, and people were grabbing chunks and breaking it up. Because what happens is there was agreements growing there, because they were praying. Resistance was coming with others joining in. Okay, and then finally, if you read the story, you'll find that Jonathan was going through a forest chasing the enemy, but he saw a honeycomb, and he used his staff or his spear to take some of the honey and eat it. And later he discovered that his father Saul had told everybody they mustn't touch any food till the evening. And so then he said, because you've done that, you'll have to die. And Jonathan said, I just had, you know, if you'd let everybody do that, they would have been strengthened. He said, my eyes were brightened for the battle, because he'd taken some food. Anyway, it's a long story. I don't want to go into all the ins and outs of it, but the people ransomed Jonathan. They were horrified that his father would put him to death for eating this honey. And I've talked about receiving, meaning we receive the honey of the word of God, of the love of God's people and of the Lord himself. That's the honey we receive in the midst of the battle, isn't it? We can encourage one another. And then finally, we're told after the battle, the land had rest. Israel had rest for a number of years before they had any other battle. And that's so true. When you've pursued something, I've done this over a number of prayer things, that you're pursuing it over maybe several years. But then when you break through, then you enter into a season of real blessing and joy before the next challenge comes along. You know, you have a time of rest. And so God doesn't make us constantly, you know, hammering away at things. He wants to give us rest and the honey of the word and his love. Okay, I've raced through that. I'll give you some notes on that. But just to say, we need to pray for each other and for all of us, that we become people who really know how to pray.
That's amazing. Thank you so much, Faith. That's such an amazing journey. I love it. It's just so clear and so helpful. So we're really grateful. Everyone, I'll make sure that the notes come in the right way, and we'll put those together. I think it would just be really good for us to pray now together, if that's all right, unless anyone has a really burning question or something that's really troubling you. Anna has. Come on, Anna.
Mm-hmm.
Go for it, and then we're going to pray for you guys.
It's gonna just sound like a really childish, like simple question, really. But when God puts something on our heart, we have to pray into it. But why, when God's put it on our heart, do we have to pray into it? It's just a very quick question. It just came up in school the other day. So I was like, oh, I've got an answer, but I'd like to hear yours.
Do you mean that you think God should just do everything himself? It's because he works with us, doesn't he? Because he's put us on the earth, he's given us free will, even to choose not to follow him. And therefore, although it grieves him, that even that free will means that there's a lot of bad things that happen in the world because humanity rebels and they do all sorts of stuff. And so when he puts something on our heart, he wants to work with human beings to see his will done. He wants the Spirit of God in you and his own heart to come together to see things move, to see mountains move. And I feel that that's why he puts things on his heart, because I think God is all the time looking for people who will work with him. That's what he wants. He's not a great dictator on the throne that doesn't engage with. He engages with us and he wants to work with us. And sometimes I think he's looking for people who will work with him and agree. When we began to pray about COVID, that's what I felt so much, that the Lord was saying, you remember in 2 Chronicles 6, I think it is, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land, because he talks about pestilence and famine and all sorts of dreadful things. And so I always felt that the Lord is saying, come on, people, let's pray together, invite my Spirit, because God wants to work with us. Because I believe all that's the enemy. I think that the virus is just the enemy's work throwing at people. Maybe the enemy even involves some human beings. We don't know exactly fully where it came from, but we know it's the enemy. But he wants people to work with him. I think it's wonderful that God wants us to work with him, and the Spirit of God wants to work in us and through us. Is that okay?
Yeah, no, that's absolutely great. Thank you.
Certainly tell the children, if it was a child, that God wants to work with us. He wants to do things with us. I think that's wonderful, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just like the kids on prayer at school. So one of the children was like, why do we have to pray if God knows everything? So then I sort of moved on to the heart.
It's a great statement to say as well, that there's authority that we have. God's given humans authority, whether they use it well or not, that we all have it, and it putting the authority given to us by God, you know, whatever percentage we are of whatever situation, that there is an authority that every human has. And you can spend your time just cursing or panicking or speaking of your own thoughts, or you can pray, and that is often just as powerful, if not more powerful, than the actions we do. Mm-hmm. Is the prayers that we pray.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Oh, bless you, Anna. It's really good question. Shall we pray together now? Would that be okay, everyone? We'd love to just pray over you now. And
Could I mention something else or ask something of people? Now, we all, I think many of you do, and certainly you know that we have in the prayer community, we listen to the Lord. Lord, what are you saying? Sometimes people will bring a prophetic word, but we need always to be, to test the prophetic words as well. I don't think anybody with a gift of prophecy would ever object to having their word tested, because sometimes, for example, if somebody's ill, and you invite people to pray, sometimes I've known people bring really strong words about you're going to be healed, or you're going to be healed in a few days' time, or whatever. I don't think we should do that unless God has said it. Not that God isn't the healer, he is. Not that we don't pray for healing, we do. And that some people may genuinely hear that from the Lord. In other words, what I'm saying is there is real prophecy which is from the heart of God. And then there is what people contribute. And one of the problems about praying, prayer meetings that pray for things like serious healing needs, is that sometimes people make those prophetic statements, God's going to do it, you're going to be healed, that kind of thing, when they haven't actually heard it from the Lord. It's come out of their own desire, which is perfectly understandable. And I've sometimes been in prayer meetings where I thought, oh my goodness, I wish people wouldn't just say that. Let's hear what God is saying. Do you see what I mean? Because we bring our own fleshy desires in. Or if somebody knows that you want a particular thing, they might give you a prophetic word that God's giving it to you. Do you see what I mean? Because their own human friendly heart wants to give it to you. Do you understand? But that is not necessarily the same as God giving it. Not that God doesn't want to do it. He does. But sometimes there are things we've got to deal with first. We have to deal with things first. And I feel that, forgive me saying that, but I've been in a lot of prayer meetings where I've sort of asked the Lord, how do we rescue it from people saying, and you don't want to be ungracious to people because they obviously want the best for the person. But we really need to ask the Lord again, is this you saying this, Lord? Or is it just my desire? Because that's often stopped people praying about, for example, severe healing needs, because they fear that either they will just say, oh, well, God's going to heal it. And then when the person gets worse and dies, they don't go back to it. That's the other thing. I think we should be, if you're going to be a prophetic person, you've got to be willing to say, okay, maybe I got that wrong. Maybe we need to clear the decks of that and let's hear what God is saying now. Is that a difficult thing to hear, people? I don't know if I'm depressing everybody here. Henry, help me out here.
I think it's really key, Faith, and it's the, I think, right at the centre of prayer, right at the centre of leading in prayer, is for all of us to know that really, really simply that God is asking us to serve him in those ways, rather than just to serve the person who's there or the groups that's there and try to tell them the things that they need. But there is always a sense of, yes, we want to ask in prayer, but we need to seek in prayer. And listen for what God is saying. I think looking to be moving in the prophetic the entire time, yeah, when we're in those prayer times is really key. Yeah. And it's, yeah, and then, you know, there's prayers that are knocking as well. You know, that we've got to get into that as well, where it's just, we're just going to constantly be lifting something up to the Lord, not with just mindless repetition, but actually just being, yeah, persistent in our prayer, being able to dig and to dig and to dig. Okay. Wonderful. Listen, we've got 5 minutes left. So Faith, can I ask you to pray over us? Because I think we've touched some really deep stuff tonight, and it's been really great to hear the things that are on your hearts, the reflections, the stuff that, that God's really saying and showing. It's been brilliant. So thank you for engaging so deeply, everyone. I think it's really significant. And Faith, why don't you pray over us all now?
I do. I really meant that when I said earlier, I was looking out in the group and I suddenly remembered that group at Marsham Street was the place, and how I just called out the ICFAS prayers and they moved around and we saw such deliverance and healing coming. And I knew that they were in agreement. I knew they'd understand what I was asking them. And that was such a blessing. And I feel the same. I think you are a very fine group of people in the leadership mentoring. And I think we need to be alert to listen to the Spirit as time goes on, as we get to revive people. We really are praying that will be a time full of the Spirit of Jesus. Well, Lord, I